Let's bow and pray, may we? Father, we thank you that you were here waiting for us in your house. Pray, Jesus, that you would just bless each one of us as we on our own open up the ears of our heart to hear what the Spirit may be saying to the church today. We represent a lot of people who are hurting people, and we thank you that you're the healer of all of our hurts. So bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Put me on. I don't know. Was it 1998 or 1999 when I got out of prison? You laugh. You cannot imagine the freedom that I felt, how the fresh air was. It was just so cool to walk out. We passed the gate here at the Sinise Valley Prison, and over to the right of the screen, the guard tower, the guy was there with his gun, gave me the high five. We walked through. And like in all movies, there was a car waiting for me. Nancy was there to drive me. And it was, why do you laugh? It was so serious, and it was so wonderful to breathe the fresh air, leaving behind me the guy that I was visiting. Now you can laugh. Okay. Okay. The point is, this guy, I'll tell you what this guy needed. Patrick, you know what he needed? You're the attorney. This guy needed this. What is it? Read out loud.
The get out of jail free card.
But he couldn't get out of the prison that he was in, but he got out because of his mind. He got out because of his mind. When you think of prisons, most of you think of iron bars, which many prisons do have. But we're talking today about iron that does enter the soul. And one of the benefits of a message like this is to encourage us, to motivate us, that we can get out of that which we are a prisoner of. For example, i.e., addictions, a certain situation, maybe you're locked into a job, and the list can go on and on as it goes through your mind right now. These are prisons without iron bars into which iron can enter our soul. Joseph is one of the cool characters of the Bible, and I believe that every one of you have as a middle name Joseph. My dad did have a middle name, Lloyd Joseph Carlson. At the count of three, I want you to insert Joseph into your name, like your first name, Joseph, your last name, okay? One, two, three. Neil Joseph Carlson. Hi, Josephs. Hi, Josephs. Iron entering to your soul. In Psalm 105, let me back up here. I want to read to you Psalm 105. David, who was a prophet at times, wrote these words. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, say Joseph, Joseph, that's you, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all that he possesses. This is a guy named Joseph, and I want to walk you through with some visual here. Joseph wasn't sent before them as God. He was sold as a slave, and many of you remember your Bible stories. And then the scripture continued in Psalm 105 to say, his feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, an iron collar around his neck, and his soul did what? Entered into the iron till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. God did send me, he says later to his brothers, before you to preserve life. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the peoples, and let him go free. So after being released and raised up, he said to his brothers who had sold him as a slave, read that if you will to me. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. His iron chains were preparing him to wear gold chains. And the iron chains that you have right now around you are iron chains keeping you down physically, but not spiritually. Because, I need a volunteer. Would somebody volunteer? Would you volunteer, please? Not you, that's you've already helped. Come. You'll be up for an Academy Award, I'm sure. Okay. Sorry about that. You're on stage. Okay. I'm going to change you up there. Okay. Okay. But you can't have your coffee, too. Okay. Okay. That's okay. That's fine. Now, look and tell you the message. What would you say she is right now? What is chained? Her B-O-D-Y. Her body is chained, right? Right?
Yeah.
What about this? It's not. So if you only remember one thing, and that is this, we captives are set free through Jesus, okay? When you're in the chains, thank you, when we're in the chains of darkness, there is no way that you can have anybody else bind your mind. But in the chain of darkness, God is going to let what? Iron enter your soul. So Joseph is a what? He's a type of our spiritual deliverance. His fetters hurt his mind as well as his body. Under the cruelly false accusation, which he could not disprove, his mind was, as it were, belted and bolted around with iron, and had not the Lord been with him, he might have sunk under his sufferings. The iron fetters, would you read that to me, were preparing him to wear chains of gold and making his feet ready to stand on high places. It is even so with all the Lord's afflicted ones, we at the church here. You too shall one day step from your prison to your throne. And that is such a beautiful thing to know, that someday we will be able to step out of our prison. Right now, there is no way that I or Satan or anybody else can play with your mind if you have the mind of Jesus. First thing I will suggest to you today is this. Iron does enter through darkness. When my friend whom I was visiting, he said sometimes it's pretty dark being in prison. Yes, it is. But the point is that there was light shining to him. And the scripture is this, Isaiah 45:3. I will give you what? The treasures of darkness. I'll give you the treasures of darkness. Riches stored in secret places. Now, I've asked my wife if she would come and share with you some of the treasures that she found in darkness. Would you give it up to Nanny?
I like the song that was sung this morning. It says, Father, you are all I need. My soul's sufficiency. My strength when I'm weak. The love that carries me. There are two situations I want to explain to you that happened to me where I heard the Lord speak to me very clearly. One day, about 30 years ago, I was taking one of my children into the doctor's office. She was to get a shot. It was going to hurt her. But she'd return to my arms of love. When I stepped out of the car with her, I heard the Lord say to me very clearly, I'm going to take you on that same path with me. It's going to hurt. You're going to cry. But you're going to come into my arms of love. How true that has been. And there's no better place to be. The second was a dream. It occurred shortly thereafter. It was a spiritual dream. I see it now as I did way back then. And what happened in this spiritual dream is I found myself going to an appointment desk, which meant there's an appointed time. On this desk were two pens, a black ballpoint pen and a pen with a quill on it, only the quill was crystal. Naturally, I chose the crystal pen to sign my name on the cash register, the register. It was like a cash register. And on this paper, rolls of paper were written, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I knew it was what heaven had recorded of my love to my father, which was going to be recorded. And I wrote my name down on that. When I wrote my name, I entered into a door behind the appointment desk. And I walked into a corridor which was covered with gold. As I walked down the corridor, I entered a room on the right-hand side. And when I entered there, I entered the very presence of God. And he started to speak to me. And I said, oh my, I need a pen and paper to write this down. And he said, no, I'm going to etch it upon your heart. Which is exactly what he did. When I walked out of that room, I was naked and unashamed, which represented the righteousness of Christ in my life. You cannot have fellowship with him without him imparting his righteousness to you. So my adventure with him was going to be just that. The little fat pig that was etched upon the quill pen, if I told you or not, I don't know, represented the pen of acceptance. I had to learn to accept his way and his will, and I had to learn to accept myself. Because one of the areas he was going to deal with me in my life was my pride that I had. And all I needed to do was put myself on a diet and take the weight off that I could so easily gain. But there came a time when I couldn't do that anymore. And I gained weight where I weighed over 300 pounds. Which placed me in a spot where he could finally get my attention. And this is what I learned from him. I found freedom with an intimacy with him. When I was a little girl, I had a favorite scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into your own understanding. Oh, how we want to understand. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. You know what that word acknowledge means? First-hand experience with him. You enter into a relationship of prayer that births blessings and victory he has for you. Wow. There's another scripture that meant a lot to me. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Hold on to that. I held on to it. I'm still holding on to it. No matter what I go through, he has something good to come from it. You will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. But I had to seek him with my whole heart. I was desperate for him. In all my situations, I was desperate for him, and he was the only way out. I will gather you from all the places where I have driven you. Ooh. You have driven me, Lord. I soon learned to find out that sometimes with me it was like his hand of grace was lifted from me and I was left to myself. And I got myself in the condition I was in. But he says, call on me, and I will bring you back. And that's exactly what he did. He saved me. And he always does. And he always works something good from whatever you go through. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of you that only you can fulfill. He uses these circumstances in our life to bring forth the purposes he has for us. I can relate to someone you can't. Sarah, you can relate to someone I can't. Everything that we go through is a part of what he's doing, of making us that new creation, which Jesus Christ made available to us through the cross. Praise his name. Praise him. We are a new creation because of what he has done. And we are asked to appropriate that through our faith. I can't tell you what it means to know, to have that intimacy with him. It's the most precious gift that we can have. So when you're going through a difficult time, know that if you'll cry out to him, you know that word in there says, seek me. That's with all you've got. You can't do it. You have need of him. That was one thing he gave me. The second thing was strength. Power, he says. My power is made strong in your weakness. So I had to acknowledge my weakness before I could call on his power to make me strong. I'm still doing that in different areas of my life, but I'm knowing a freedom that I would never know if I didn't have that personal relationship, that intimacy with him. So the second treasure he gave me was power. Every day that I walk with the trouble I have in my feet and my ankle, Lord, I'm calling on you for your strength, because you said it is made strong in my weakness. The third thing, hope. Praise God, we have hope. He's not going to leave us where we are. He has something better for us. In Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, because of the Lord's great love, now listen to this, we are not consumed, for his passions never, they never fail. They are new every morning. Oh, Lord, great is your faithfulness to us. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. You know what that wait means? With expectancy and hope. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. So I challenge you, seek him. He will be found. And you'll enter into a relationship that can't compare to anything on this earth. He loves you. As I look back in my life, I can see how great his love for me was. With that scripture, my favorite scripture, he knew before all these things happened that they were going to happen. He says, even before your days were, even before I placed you in your mother's womb, I planned for you. Good. So he has a plan for each one of you. And it's a beautiful plan that only you can fulfill. So praise his name. Those are my treasures from my darkness. Seek him. You'll find him.
So Aaron is entering our soul through the darkness there, the treasures. And back to your bulletin, is there an area in your life where you feel you are walking in darkness? Well, out of your pain and your tears, God is going to infuse that iron. He will infuse that iron. The second thing is iron enters through our suffering. The scripture is Hebrews 2:10. And would the men just read this to me, please? In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Thank you, guys. Iron does can come through suffering, but, you know, who wants to be suffering? This may not be always true. Steel is iron plus flat fire, and material is linen is flax plus the wash. You want to correct me? Where'd you go? Okay, he's not. Anyway, that's not true. So, what is it? Well, I can't hear him, but God could. Anyway, just okay. Let's just proceed. Okay. Someday God is going to reveal the fact to every Christian that the very thing that we rebelled against while we were in prison was the instrument which he used in perfecting the character. You know, when I think of this guy, Joseph, what, 17 years old when he was thrown into prison? You know, Nancy and I have been visiting a lot of people in prison, different prisons, like they've been passing for 50 years. And we pastored the church out of New Orleans, pastored the church out of Chicago, pastored the church out of Detroit, pastored the church out of San Diego, and now 29 years at King City, and now here. And in those different churches, we went to a lot of jails. But of course, the jails now are pretty nice, certainly compared to what Joseph's. Can you imagine what this guy went through at the age of 17 years old? Any guys here 17 years old? A couple won't admit it, okay. But then chronologically, as we look through the scripture, there are those people who say that that he got out when he was like 28 years old. It's a long time to be in prison, but he was in prison, and God blessed him through all of that suffering. The third thing, after we read Psalm 107, 14, and 16, is like he brought them out. I like to say he brought Neil out, brings you out of the darkness and the deepest gloom, broke away their chains, for he breaks down gates of bronze and he cuts through the bars of iron. Praise God, he does do that. Third thing is this, iron can enter you through distress. I've asked Robin, my oldest child, to come and speak about distress. Many of you do not know that like 7 years ago, her daughter, Kimberly, in high school, was on a photo shoot out of Cambria, and they were returning to the campus in the car. The car was passing another car, and the passenger decided, sort of freaked out, and grabbed the wheel, turned the wheel, the car rolled, and Kimberly was graduated to heaven. The only one wearing a seatbelt, I might add. Anyway, through the years, it's been very difficult for Robin, but it's interesting that last week, before she knew I was going to ask her to do this, the Lord imposed her to write down, to journal, what happened that day. And so, Robin, would you come, and would you welcome Robin?
Hi. My two favorite scriptures always have been, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Philippians, and God causes all things to work together for good in Romans. But that faith that I had on those scriptures were really tested on me on May 4th, 1999. This is what the Lord had me. Right. That day will always be etched in my mind forever, like a movie permanently engraved in your brain. You get a call from a stranger that asks you if you have a daughter that has red hair. And I think to myself, well, yes, but I just sent off two of my daughters to school. I dart off dropping Breezy off at Elaine's house saying, Kim's been in an accident. I head towards Cambria, praying in the spirit the whole time, thinking everything is fine. The ambulance hasn't passed me. I drive around turns and trees, thinking this is taking so long. Where is she? I pull up to a lot of cars, seeing just faces of pain, and then I see my daughter laying on the ground. I run to her. There's a black car with its windows all broken and her laying down, all covered but her head, her beautiful face with no signs of injuries. I kiss her face all over, cold, her beautiful red hair. I just start praying in the spirit, raising my hands, I guess waiting for something to happen. Looking up and seeing an EMT with blonde hair, I keep praying and kissing her forehead. I say, I need a phone. I need to call my husband. Please come. Mike, Kim is in heaven. No, he shouts. What do? I hear in his voice. I go to the other side of her, looking at her hands, seeing her ring she just got for her 17th birthday. I want it. I ask for something to take it off. I don't want them to cut it off. I see the bag they used to try to get her to breathe. I see one of her beautiful brown eyes opened. Was it like that when I got there? I can't understand. All of a sudden, I get up and head towards my car, and there is Carrie coming towards me with tears, pain, and question in her eyes. Did she see anything? Grabbing her, I need to get home to my family. Tell them. Oh, no. I get in the car with people questioning me to drive. I say I have to. My chest is hurting. Carrie is screaming. My cell phone rings. It's my dad, but I think it's someone else because his voice is so different. Pain, concern, wanting to help me. I drive to the school to get Katie and Kelly. What do I say? I go to the office where I see the principal and secretary with red and pain in their eyes. Then my girls with questions in their eyes. I'm hugging them and going to the car saying Kim was in an accident. She is in heaven. What? Silence. I drive home and see my parents. I'm speechless. People everywhere. Where's Mike? Everything is a blur. I remember running to my parents' house one night and getting in bed with them and crying, with them holding me and praying, and so many people sending flowers and cards, sick of the feeling of the smell of orchids. So many people at our memorial sharing. What an impact you had, Kim, on so many lives. Now we can't share that. Together, just memories. I have to be strong, believe in what I've been taught for years. Boy, is that hard. But with my stubbornness, I will not let Satan have control of my life. God is in control. He is a reason for living, and he needed Kim for a greater purpose, more than I can comprehend, more than I needed her. He is my strength. He is my reason for living. I will be a light like Kim was and is. I want more people to come to know him, because without him, we truly can't live. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. I will see Kimberly again because I do believe in what Jesus did for me and you. What Jesus did on the cross is the ultimate example of God's ability to work all things together for good. So if God will require such intense suffering of his own son, whom he loved, to accomplish a holy purpose, he has a purpose for your pain and mine. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Thank you. Thank you. Are any others through distress? We all go through great distress. I guess the next thing is really Psalm 4:1, answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Robin and Mike did that in the family. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. And back to your bulletins. While we ask for help in our distress, it is actually distress that forges iron into our soul. Which brings us to the fourth thing, iron in the end. Any of you pump iron or anything? What do we have? You're kidding. You always carry iron with you? Okay. 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 I joined the gym for 3 months. I had to tell you, it didn't affect my body at all, but I sure tried. But the fact is, the iron, this is not the iron. This iron in it is the body, right? The body. And as we illustrated early, it was the soul. So to give you a little theology here, any of you remember Psalm 23 written by David? Okay, one scripture says he restores my what? My soul. It didn't say body. This is the earth suit. Iron can affect my body, but the Bible says that he restores my soul. And what is the soul? It is the mind, it is the will, and it is the emotion. And that is why my friend in jail is not really in jail. Because unlike the bird who fights against the iron cage and then falls down exhausted, he just says, hey, I may be in the prison of iron, but it's not, no way is it going to affect my brain. So iron entering your soul, which we're pushing for today to motivate you to understand, it's the iron entering into your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the scripture has it like this. Although I have afflicted you, that's in your prison, O Judah, and you put your name right there, I will afflict you no more. I will afflict you no more. Who's talking? God. You mean to tell me that God, who is this wonderful, loving Father image, is going to afflict me? And the answer is yes. According to the Word of God, because you who were parents discipline your children, so also God, it says, will discipline those who He loves. So I want to be loved by God. And God loves you. And maybe the point is that we in our church today have spent so much time on the love of God, forgetting that there are two sides to what? The coin? There is a wrath of God, people. And praise God that while we're under the blood of Jesus, we still have a Father who will allow us to get into a prison. And this is the concept of God sending it or allowing it as it passes through His fingers. Because people, everything that you have experienced or will experience has to first pass through the hand of God. He can stop it or He can allow it to go through. And if He allows it to go through, it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit to put this iron in your soul. So don't minimize your prison. Take heart. God is putting you through the iron regime. And it's like, stop fighting it. Change it if you can, the prison that you're in. But for us, as for Joseph, this is it. The iron crown of suffering preceded the golden crown of glory. I thank you, Jesus, that iron is entering our soul. And I thank you, Jesus, for Isaiah 48 that reads like this. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I've tested you into the furnace of affliction. So, this is the conclusion. People, for myself and for you, I want to motivate you. I want to motivate you to see God in all things, every circumstance, everything that pains you, everything, like every interruption that would sort of make you impatient. Job 13:15 says, yes, what? I will praise Him. I will praise Him. I'll praise you, God, through all the things that happened to me. It's like the other day I saw a guy who was cutting a tile. And I thought as he was using the saw with the water, making a cut, I sort of thought, my goodness, this sort of represents us with what we go through. You know, God is shaping us. Now, He's shaping us here for up there. And so while it hurts and while we say, ouch, while all these experiences come to us when we're in our different prisons, we will say Job 13:15. We'll just say it out loud. Yet I will praise Him. Let's stand, may we? Father God, we don't like to say, I praise you for this and I praise you for that, which would be negative factors in our life. It's not our nature to say that. But with the nature of Christ, we can say, like Job, yeah, I do. I do praise you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you that you are infusing iron into my soul. And yet I will praise you. And I pray, God, that it's like we would take heart that you are putting us through the prison. But for us, as for Joseph, we do thank you that iron is entering our soul. And then, Lord, for those people who are here or who are listening who do not have a saved soul, I pray, God, you will touch their heart right now. And you know to whom I'm speaking. And if, of course, we all are sinners, but some are saved and some are lost. And if you are a lost sinner and you're hearing my voice right now, I just would plead to you to just accept Jesus, to recognize that you are lost without him. And just to say, Jesus, I do believe in you. And for us all, for those who would accept Jesus right now, and for we who are the saints already, yet will I praise him.